the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to the Runner's Diary, episode 73. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, featured fixtures.
And this week, our guest interview is with Sergio Chibano. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product. Okay, so welcome back to yet another week of the Runner's Diary. We're nearly there now, the final rundown into Christmas. Not so many races on today. Things seem to be quite long and small, but a lot of cross-country, obviously. But we're nearly there, Damien.
Yeah, all set
for Christmas?
All set, getting there slowly but surely. But look, I think this gave us a good time this week as well, obviously, to have an interview later on with Sergio again. In fairness to him, who generously gave up his time in this busy time of the year. So that was a really enjoyable interview, and I think cross country was to the fore this weekend. Some interesting results around the place and some fantastic results for Irish athletes.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that more, I suppose, in a minute. So first of all, we obviously had a competition last week, thanks to our friends in Grange from I, and again, a great 10K race that they're putting on New Year's Eve. So again, check that one out if you can. The competition winners this week were Edel Buckley, and Edel chose Jacqueline there, I think her sister. So congratulations to you both. You'll be running in Grange from I 10K coming up again on New Year's Eve. So great race again for everybody else. Try and get to their eventmaster.ie. Check out for all the details, and the best of luck to the host there and everybody running that day.
Yeah, massive competition.
From
actually,
that competition, we move forward.
That was a big
to...
competition, though, Brian, wasn't it? In fairness, for
there was huge entries.
Great reaction to it.
Yeah.
And even Ryan Creech putting up that he's going back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, fair play to everyone, and thank you to everyone who entered.
I saw that as well.
Next competition we have is across the border for us in Kerry, St. Brendan's AC, who are offering two free entries to their Tom Kelly 8K race, which takes place on the 14th of January in Ardfort in County Kerry. It's a 9:30 a.m. start. So this is the third year of the event, and it's in honour of Tom, who was a coach and, part of the club for 10 years and inspiring athletes in, from all generations up as well. So it's going to be a very, very good competition. I think another one which should be very popular. So again, that's on the 14th of January at 9:30 a.m. And the simple rules always apply. Simply like our page and tag your running buddy. It is as simple as that. But look, there's nothing better than a trip to Kerry in January.
Yeah, well, as we know, people are always looking for the kickstart to new year with challenges and get out there. So this is a good race to aim for maybe in the second week there, January, as I said.
And again, a massive thank you to St. Brendan's AC for contacting us and giving us the competition for this week as well. We really, really do appreciate it. So again, it'll be on our social media. It's probably on Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that. So with that, Brian, I was scrolling through the Twitter the other day and I came across a story of a race in Doha, a 100-meter race, where there was only one entry into the race, even though it was actually more than that. But because a doping control was unseen, nobody entered bar this one person. Now, do you remember seeing a video back in September?
I do. Actually, it was quite disturbing, really, wasn't it? It was quite shocking. I remember the video. You're right. So, similar event again, was it?
Yeah, so it was a similar event in Doha as well. And it was just literally, for people who don't know, someone videoed afterwards into the, I think, one of the dressing rooms or the bathrooms or something like that, and the place was just littered with drugs. Frightening. So they're obviously putting a big press on that at the moment, and they sent out the drug controls out there, and all but one person in the 100 meters decided to turn up, and he ran the race. He won, so it's a good start.
Where did he finish?
So, no, it was very, very slow. But look, I think Unfortunately,
I'd
drugs
probably
are
still
still
look, yeah. I'd probably still lose a race with one person in it,
the hamstring
maybe.
will go, the hamstring will just go and not even finish the race.
99 meters in.
Yeah, but it's a rampant problem at the moment, and obviously, as everyone knows, Kenya and
Yeah.
everything like that at the moment. So look, it's not what something that people want to see, but unfortunately, it is part of the sport at the moment in some aspects.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, we'll have more of this in a minute, but cannot skip across the Eurocross that took place today. As you said, we've been talking a lot about cross country of late, and we've had some guests on as well who have graced that event over the years. But I don't know if you saw much of it, but I flicked in a note every now and again, and it was interesting. It was great performances by the Irish in many of the races. Actually, in fairness, there was good positions. A couple of stars, obviously. Again, conditions look fairly muddy.
Did it, yeah.
It did get fairly dug up as the day went on. But obviously, I suppose from a medaling perspective, Nick Griggs again, as we've been saying, I suppose we've called his name out a few times here. Definitely one to watch. But a third place finish today, and again the team getting gold there. So outstandingly done there. That was the men's under 20s, and obviously someone we only mentioned last week. And again, Lindy gave her a glowing review last week as well. Was Fionnuala McCormack, who finished fourth, agonizing fourth again. I think her fifth time finishing fourth. But amazingly, again, as we said, like just 1 week after running an Olympic
Oh.
qualifying time at the marathon last week in Valencia, was it? Like,
Yeah,
so
and she
it's
was
just amazing
comfortably
she
in
was able to
fourth as well.
go
Like
again anyway.
she was 20 seconds ahead, so she was comfortably in fourth. She's just a phenomenal athlete. Phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, and actually, funny enough, we said it last week here, but when I listened to I think I was just on RT, whatever it was, but he said he called it out, the commentator, an underrated, I think, or an undervalued Irish athlete or Irish sports person again. So, yeah, definitely a superstar, of fairness to her, you know.
Yeah, fifth Olympics. Jesus, phenomenal. Coming up as well.
Yep. And again, we got a message into us today. So always like to get messaging from clubs or athletes who've been performing and achieved something, or just performing in unusual locations or anything like that. So again, a very huge shout out to many Irish runners who ran overseas this weekend, and in particular at the Malaga Half and Full Marathon. We saw big event numbers there from the Watergrass Hill AC Club, St Finbarr's and Grange Fermoy as well. So well done to all those clubs, and anybody else who went there. But a special mention also to John O'Brien. Again, we spoke with John a few weeks ago again, who's really have had a fantastic year. John is from the Ballymore Cove Club, and he finished in a new PB time of 2 hours, 37 minutes and 54. So phenomenal run by John. And keep
Phenomenal.
doing what you're doing.
Phenomenal run. 2:37. Unbelievable run. Well done. And no, look, it nice to get away with the sun at this time of year as well, over to these marathons in Lanzarote. You'd be the same as well.
It's a nice one. I think it's fairly flat as well, from what I'm hearing. So definitely want to have a look out for anyone looking for overseas marathons, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Right, that's all the news. It's short and sweet today. I think we'll move on to our results, which are, of course, sponsored by Wellbeing Coffee of Glanmire and Neptune Stadium. Make sure you pop in and give them a big hi after your run. Nothing better than for you, a coffee, for me, a hot chocolate after a run. Coffee's not a fan of it.
Once we have the marshmallows for you, isn't
Oh, marshmallows and cream are very, very important.
it?
So we start off with in Cork the results of the Cork Athletics Masters. Which saw Gavin Sweeney take the win, with Barry Tuig in second and John Mead in third. Now, every single of the three lads were M40. So again, the lads are just knocking it out, and I need to see, hopefully they'll be out of the M40 category in the next year or so. So it might make a bit of room space for me. In the men's team event, there was wins for St Finbarr's AC. With Tokar AC and Leavale in second and third in the M35 and the M50. Grange Fermoy took the win, St Finbarr's AC in second and Middleton AC in third. And in the M65 team, Eagle AC took the win with St Finbarr's AC in second place altogether. Then we move to the ladies, which is a name that we've not mentioned ever in the show, took the win in Michelle Kenny from Leavale AC taking the win, with Siobhan Hoare from Tokar AC in second and Breida Gaffney from Mallow AC in third altogether. So again, names that are very common to us, and always out at these events, and it's brilliant to see. In the ladies team events, in the M35, Tucker AC East Cork is, or sorry, Tucker AC took the win with East Cork AC in second, and all right, notes just closed on top of me, and Middleton AC in third. And in the M45 team, Mallow AC took the win with St Finbarr's in second place altogether.
Yeah, well done to everybody there. I'd be killed if I didn't shout out one of my running partners, Donal Collins, who came third in the male 45 category. So that's the only individual one I'll call out anyway. So, but again, well done to everybody who's finishing off the year in style. Again, there was a few other races took part around the country as well. A lot of festive fun events as well, Santa Dashes and reindeer runs and all this type of thing and charity events. So again, huge shout out to everybody who's either organizing or taking part. And again, if you want your race entered here in terms of the results or a feature fixture, make sure to get on to us. And with that, we'll move to Lindy now for a catch up on some of the other races and obviously her take on the cross country as well.
As most of you probably know by now, gold for the under 20 men's team, along with individual bronze for Nicholas Griggs and a fourth place for Fionnuala McCormack in the senior women's race, proved the highlights of the Irish performance at the 29th European Cross Country Championships held in Brussels. Griggs of the Candor Club in Belfast ran a smart and controlled race to finish third, which should help restore his confidence after he dropped out of the national championships a few weeks ago. Not too far behind were Niall Murphy of Ennis Track Club and Wicklow man Jonas Stafford, now with UCD, who finished within a second of each other in 9th and 10th places. With 22 points, Ireland beat Great Britain for team gold by just 2 points. By the time Fionnuala McCormack lined out for the women's senior race, which for the first time was 9 kilometres in distance, the track was a strength-sapping mud bath. In other words, proper cross-country, just what McCormack likes. Despite having run an Olympic qualifying time at the Valencia Marathon a week earlier, McCormack set off in typically dogged fashion. By the second of 5 grueling laps, she was never far behind the top three in the race, although the field was well stretched out, with Norway's Caroline Grovdal heading for her third consecutive victory. Second was former junior and under 23 champion Nadia Battolcletti of Italy, who celebrated by having a roll around in the mud. We'll be watching out for her. Britain's Abby Donnelly was third and McCormack fourth. It was an 18th Eurocross race for McCormack, just off the Ukrainian Sergei Lebed's record of 19. Best of the Irish in this men's senior race, also over 9K, was current Irish champion Cormac Dalton of Mullingar Harriers. In finishing a fighting eighth, Dalton took some notable scalps. Behind him came local hero and pre-race favourite Isaac Comelli of Belgium, who was 11th, Norway's Henrik Ingebrigtsen, 12th, and Yemane Berhan Crippa of Italy, 13th. The Irish team, which was in third place heading out on the final 1500-metre lap, ended up fourth. Another top 10 finish came in the women's under 23 race, where Daniel Donegal of Tullamore Harriers finished a creditable eighth in a race dominated by Britain's Megan Keith. She finished a massive 1 minute 22 seconds ahead of the chasers. For the first time, men and women ran the same distance in all categories: 5K under 20, 7K under 23, and 9K senior. Turkey will host next year's championship. But will there be mud, I ask? On the roads, Ephraim Gidey of Clonliffe Harriers was in Paris on Sunday, where he led home 8,624 finishers at the Eiffel Tower 10K with a winning time of 28 minutes 52 seconds. His time put him 23 seconds clear of Moroccan athlete Mohamed El Talaoui. Conditions were wet and windy. At the Telford 10K in Shropshire, also on Sunday, England-based Thomas Moran of Dunshochlin AC and Sale Harriers finished in a time of 29:36. Locally, Niall O'Callaghan of West Limerick AC won the Santa Dash 5K at Loughborough in County Offaly, which was only one of several seasonal races held over the weekend. Fifth and first woman was Emily Grennan of Tullamore Harriers. And that's all for this week, folks.
And thank you to Lindy for that. As always, sounds so much better than us, but we'll get there one of these days. We'll get there. But look, again, as I said, as Brian said before, Lindy, if there's anyone who wants to give us a shout at any stage, please do. We can contact on all our social media pages. Just send us a link to your results or send us on if you want to be featured for your feature fixtures as well, which ties into us moving on to our featured fixtures.
First one up is the Farn for Main Valley AC 5K, and that takes place on 26th of December. So again, right after Christmas Day, a chance to get out there and blow off the cobwebs. And again, as we've been saying, it's a very popular race, a very fast race. Some great athletes turn up there, and it's a well long established race as well. So that's on St. Stephen's Day. Again, check out Facebook Farn for page there for more details. Farn for Main Valley. On how you can enter, but again, Eventmaster is the home for all entries anyway, so make sure to check that one out.
Exactly. And our second feature victor is the Tucker 5K, which is on the 31st of December. It's an 11 a.m. start. Again, this is a massively supported race, fast race. With a nice fast start in it, little climbs in the middle of it, but very, very, very good race. So that is on the 31st of December, 11 a.m., and that's the Tucker AC 5K.
Yeah, and for people wanting something a bit longer, the Grange for my AC New Year's Eve 10K takes place at 12 p.m. Again, that was our draw from last week. So again, a very, very good race, well-supported race as well, as you said. So two quality races there. And again, if you're looking for entry to that one, either check out Grange for my AC's social media pages or go again to Eventmaster where you'll be able to search up their event.
Exactly. And lastly, is the Tom Kelly AK on Sunday the 14th of January at a 9:30 a.m. start, being held by St. Brendan's AC. Again, as I said earlier, that's our competition this week, so it would be brilliant for people to be able to get out and support us. So if you don't win the competition, again, as Brian has said, you check out on their own Facebook page or eventmaster.ie, or also check our website where we will have the weekly blog up, which wasn't up last week, but that was my fault, but it will be back again this week. So just keep an eye out for that as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. And again, as we keep saying, if there's anyone else, make sure to get them in. I'm sure people in January in particular, as I said, all these New Year resolutions will be eager to enter competitions and eager to get into races. So if you've any races coming up that you'd like us to feature, we're happy to do so. So get on to us there. So that's it. Again, we'll move on to our interview this week. Again, Sergio Giovanu, a very experienced runner. He's another one to enter into the sound man category. I think lovely guy. Years and years of running, years and years of experience, and he shares some of that with us as well. So a lot to learn, I think, on this one and pick up from Sergio's experience. So we'll
Yeah,
head over there.
I found it interesting, Brian, actually, before we meet the people here, is it the fact where he was talking about his age and his running age.
Yeah, I picked up on that as well.
Yeah, I did find that very interesting. So, just people tune into it, because I actually did, because Sergio's the same age as myself, a lot younger than Brian. But he was just saying that his running age is actually quite old. So, enjoy it, and we'll catch you on the other side.
So today's interview is brought to you by Shoe Rescue Sport. Made here in Cork, Shoe Rescue Sport is a natural solution to ensure your running shoes, or indeed any footwear, is kept fresh and odor-free. Available from selected sports stores around Ireland, also available from Amazon. So this week, we're delighted to have Sergio Giovanni join us from Clonliffe Harriers, a well-known runner to many, many runners and clubs around the country. Delighted to have you, Sergio. Welcome to the Runner's Diary podcast.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, great to
Pleasure.
have
Thanks
you.
for joining me.
Again, like so many guests, when we put the name out there, you always get the response, that someone's very popular by the response we get. And again, there was great comments back and people already commenting, looking forward to listening into this one. So no pressure.
No pressure, exactly.
As we always do, we're going to have a little bit of we try to add a bit of humor into it anyway. We don't, like, people who listen know we do not take ourselves seriously at all. So we'll try to have a bit of fun, but also obviously try to get some gossip, get some stories out of you that maybe people have not heard so far. We try anyway. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with what we do with everybody is our not so rapid fire questions. Brian, I'll let you get the first one in there. So,
Okay, I'll go first. So road, trail, or track?
oh, definitely road,
Definitely
definitely road.
road. Yeah,
Yeah,
thought so.
Yeah, probably if it was cross country or track, probably would be hard to pick. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's like I love cross country, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely road.
Okay.
Favorite shoe brand.
That's kind of like, you know, like I've always thought, you know, like years ago, like you could easily pick one brand, but now like that it's not such a bad brand, you know. So like
Yeah.
I can't go from one to another, like, you know.
Go from night. What would you
I'd
race
say
in?
I'll say Asics, but I'm between Asics and Nike, you know. It's been
Okay.
like I got a bit of support from Asics, so you know.
Yeah. Wasn't there a time? Was there a time where you were supported by Asics and there was a Nike shoe written
Oh, it was,
on
No, like
it?
it was, it was a Nike shoe, but yeah, I painted over with a nice, Asics, you
Asics
know,
logo.
logo.
You have to crop them out. You have to crop the pictures, you see, to
Oh,
get them.
yeah. And didn't
Right.
I put a spike plate on a pair of Vaporflies, you know?
Oh,
next one, miles or kilometers?
K kilometers,
Ah,
yeah.
okay. Interesting.
Right. This is an interesting one because this is where we can get our next future guest from us, maybe. Who's the most famous person on your phone contact list?
Oh, that's kind of tough now, like.
We've had soccer names, we've had, you know,
Yeah.
it's a I you
Yeah.
know what, think about it, we come back to
I,
him.
yeah, no, like, I, yeah. Well, I guess Rob Heffernan probably, like.
Oh,
Yeah,
Heffernan's
but there
good.
you
Yeah,
go. Yeah, there you
there
go.
you go. That's a good
Exactly.
one.
I've been talking to him only a few days ago, so I guess, yeah, I guess it's him, yeah.
We'll
Perfect.
take Rob, yeah.
Yeah. I hope I don't offend anyone.
No, not at all. Yes.
We're not on it. That's why you didn't mention us, thanks.
Yeah. Your favorite distance?
Oh, that's a hard question, you know. I've always thought between 10 miles and half marathon, probably half marathon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite race you've ever done? That one that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah. Probably Ballycotton 10.
Ah, we are going to come to them later on
Excellent. I was going to ask you about that after, so
anyway.
that's a good one. I'm glad you answered that now, actually. Do you prefer training in hot or cold weather?
I guess I prefer training in the hotter weather, but I hate racing in the hotter weather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you didn't run, you would.
Probably play soccer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Play soccer or do wrestling?
Wrestling?
Wrestling, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't
Okay.
do.
That's a first ever
That's
answer,
how it
right?
started. That's how it started, you know. I started with wrestling, then I went into soccer and then into running.
Okay, we're gonna have to come to this in a minute, Brian, right?
I don't think as a runner you have the physique for wrestling somehow, but maybe I'm
No,
wrong.
that's what I said, yeah.
You can't run without.
Shoes.
Okay, we've
Yeah.
had that, yeah.
All right. Three sports people you would like to sit down and have a meal or a drink with.
Yeah, that's kind of like,
Can be dead or alive, by the way. Dead or alive.
Okay, yeah. Look, yeah, like probably David Beckham.
Okay, good one. Very good, yeah.
Novak Djokovic.
Okay.
Oh, right.
And probably Sergey Lebed, the Ukrainian cross country runner.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go by the. Are you a Man United fan? Because you were saying obviously soccer, and you mentioned David
No,
Beckham.
I'm
Oh,
not.
that's
Like,
grand. No, because I was just going to end this call because I have one Man United fan here already, and I can't have two.
Favorite book or movie?
I do read some books, but probably I'll name the movie Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And running and all,
Been
there you
wild,
go.
like, but yeah.
We can class that as a sports end, you know. Right, this is one that catches people. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, what would it be and why?
Yeah, that's kind of another hard one, but I was thinking probably Lionel Messi.
That's what I said, is it World Cup?
Yeah, winning the World Cup, like, yeah, probably that's all he needed to have probably one of the greatest.
Yeah, that was my answer as well. So
Yeah.
we're just it's a very good answer. Well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the rapid fire out of the way. Now we come to the more serious stuff. So I suppose, Sergio, just to take us through, obviously not going through every single detail, but to take us through your earlier years. Obviously, you're from Moldova. Again, maybe just take us through your earlier years. Was running always part of your life, even in your younger days?
Not really. No, like my kind like memories how I started running, like it was well, like I started running when I was like 18, probably 17, 18, like more like doing maybe two runs a week, and that was on the good season, winter time I would be wall training indoors, and that was probably twice a week after schools, But yeah, with I started running when I was 17. There was a county race, and I just went there only because the coach that I would like we had a coach that was coaching the all sports like training.
Damien's young son has just joined us in case anyone's wondering.
Oh yeah, wondering. Yeah, so. Yeah, that was kind of my early days when I started running 17, 18, training once a week, went first time to a local race, and I finished second in that race, and then kind of started from there,
Okay.
but running was mostly part of staying fit, getting fit, kind of while like I was playing a little bit of soccer, and then I was doing maybe a little bit of wrestling because we had no other sports to do, so like.
And
And this,
was this wrestling, sorry, was this wrestling like the Olympic style wrestling, or was it like,
the Greco-Romans,
yeah, you weren't on top of the top rope slamming down or anything?
no, the Olympic wrestling,
Yeah.
and that was only because like the only coach that we had in town then, like he was a wrestler, so like, but he was into soccer a bit too, so we were doing a bit of soccer and a bit of wrestling,
Okay, very good. And
And I think
then.
that really helped, like even flexibility and all this, because even nowadays, I see youngsters like 16, 17, and they can't stretch properly, and like I'm like that's like I was thinking probably like it's very important even to start with youngsters, do a bit gymnastics, maybe do a bit of wrestling, getting them, from young age the routine to stretch,
Yeah, and it probably helps even with strength and core strength as well, I think, as
Probably.
well, which is a
Yes,
big part of running as well. So take us then how you went like from Moldova to Ireland and bridge that step and bridge that gap, maybe.
yeah, well, like that was quite an experience. I was just after college. It was like it was my last, like it was last year in college, and I had good friend of mine, a kind of a family relation that he was living in Ireland, and like that's probably well, like I kind of I was interviewed in the past, and that's nothing new, so like I like he was my best man, and then I said but I was last year in college, so like I decided kind of to give Ireland a try, like, because I couldn't see back then. It was 2006 when I traveled to Ireland, and back then I couldn't see much happening in Moldova. So I said, I'll try to go to Ireland maybe for 6 months and see what happens. So,
Must have worked out well.
yeah.
You're still
So,
here.
yeah. I was thinking, yeah, it's going to be like next spring, I'll be 18 years here. So, like, yeah, this, yeah. So that was like, yeah. So I came to Ireland thinking that I'm going to stay for 6 months and maybe work, earn some money, and go back to Moldova. So it didn't happen the way that I was thinking. You know, I had no English at all. I didn't even know, like, what language you speak in Ireland. You know, like, my friend, let's say, like, he was saying that, like, my best man Ben, like, he said, it's English, but, like, I studied French, Russian, and Romanian language in Moldova, so no English. So he said, but oh, it's fine. Anyone comes here, they not all fluent speakers, so you'll be fine. You know, I came here and I really struggled. Like, probably took me 2 years to be able to have a phone conversation, you know. So
2 years is not that bad, to be fair, to learn, like, a second, you know, not a second language, but a new language totally, because obviously you've learned. So, you know, I think I did 6 years of French in school, and I didn't have a word of it coming out. So
like, it was quite a difficult time when I moved over. But in the same time, I think looking back now, like, athletics kept me going, and it was so important that, like, I think in the fourth month I came to Ireland, and I didn't even, like, I knew. Because, like, months before I moved to Ireland, I was running the European Clubs Cross Country Championship in Spain. And looking on the list, I saw two clubs from Ireland. It was Clonliffe Harriers and Dundrum South Dublin, DSD. So I had in my head that I'm going to Ireland, and I'm definitely going to join one of those two clubs, you know. And when I moved to Ireland, I was one of those Dublin double-deckers, like, buses, and I was, I passed, like, Santry, and I didn't know what stadium or what track was that, but I saw the track from the bus, and I said, geez, I'll get out at the next stop, and I'll go to see what's happening on that stadium. You know, that's how I ended up, like, running with Clonliffe Harriers, you know. I went there, and I only knew five words, probably, were, like, I was very limited. I said, I'm an athlete, I want to join the club, you know, but I don't speak English, you know.
Yeah.
And it happened that I met Gladys Cooper, and she was the club captain. Her late husband, Joe Cooper, like, he was the senior captain. And I met them there, and I said, I don't speak English, but I'm an athlete. And they said, oh, no, like, you have a very good English. But, like, that was my few words that I had, and I was lost after that, you know.
I had to dash out there for a second. Did you, like, how good of a runner were you at this stage? Were you kind of, like, very competitive?
I thought I was competitive. I ran the Eurocross, the Euro Cross Country Championship in Tilburg in 2005, before I moved to Ireland. Well, before I decided to come and visit Ireland, you know. And but, like, I finished, I think, second last in that race, and I ran for Moldova in that race.
Still at a very high level, obviously, though. But I suppose joining a club that obviously made your step into Ireland much easier for you then, of course, is it?
Yeah, that helped me a lot, you know, kind of, even, like, to learn the language, even to understand people, understand the lifestyle here. I met a guy from Moldova, like, a few months ago. He's much younger, I think. Mihai Sprinchan, he finished third in the Watford half last Saturday, you know, and he only moved to Ireland in September. And I don't know him from Moldova. Like, you know, I met him here in Ireland, and my first advice was, look, join a club and make sure you attend the club sessions. Like, I know he has a coach from Moldova, but I think his plans are to stay here in Ireland and work and train. So, like, my advice was, look, I know you have your coach there, but you need to go here to meet with people, meet with the club coach, understand what's happening here. You know, like, forget about, you know, tagging clubs from Moldova or coach from Moldova, or, like, you know, like, because whatever is happening is happening here, and it will be way easier to integrate, to make friends, to understand what's happening here. Because, like, I do have friends from Moldova, and, like, they live here, and I have a really good friend, and, like, he doesn't know what's going on, you know, because, like, they just, like, you know, like to meet with Moldovans or with Romanians, and like, you know, but it's so important to, you know, to integrate. And that's
Absolutely,
like
yeah.
other people, they do that. But like, let's say if you just knew like this guy Mihai, like I hope like he's going to be a good key in the senior team for Clonleaf next year, you know. So like that was my first, because
yeah.
that's what helped me, you know.
And what was your distance? What kind of was your target distances when you joined Clonleaf? Like, did you go out for the 5Ks?
Yeah, like when, yeah, that's very funny, because yeah, I was 22 when I came to Ireland, and I joined Clonleaf and I started to train with the senior team. Peter McDermott was the coach. Like he's still he's coaching Ephraim Giddy.
Yeah.
And like Peter was the coach, and I was going there. We were training twice a week, Tuesday and Saturdays. And I thought I was making a good progress, but like at 22, I thought like I'm like, you know, I know everything. I'm an adult. So like looking now at the 22-year-olds, I was thinking, geez, I was so young, you know. But like I was running anything between whatever 5K, 10K, half marathons, and like after 3 months I was in Ireland, I went and I ran my first marathon in Longford, 2006. I finished it. I didn't tell Peter. Like I did Tuesday session, we were doing, I know, 16 400s on Tuesday, and I didn't tell Peter because I thought the court record in Longford was so weak. I think it was something like 2:28, and I said, "I'm going for that course record," because there was some time bonus, you know. And said it's a handy way to earn some money, you know. Like
you could always blame your bad English, anyway. You know. Oh, sorry, I couldn't tell you because I couldn't speak English.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I went, I ran Longford Marathon in 2006, only after a few months training with Peter, and Peter didn't talk to me, like, for about 3 months after.
What was your first time?
I ran, I think I ran 2:35. So, like, I didn't have the miles, you know, I didn't have the miles, didn't have long runs, but I thought, sure, I'll just go and run, maybe. I was hoping to run faster than 2:28, but it didn't happen.
Yes.
And where then, like from there, where did it start moving into, you're starting to get up to a higher level, you're starting to get noticed, maybe start running races?
Look, like it's like even back then in 2006, I started running properly, I'd say, I was maybe fourth year when I went to college. So like, you know, I was 4 years there, and then like probably 4.5 years, like when I was five years training, you know. So like it took me another like 2-3 years to get probably 2000. I won my first national title, first marathon title in 2009. I ran 2:23 in Dublin, and then the following year, 2010, I broke 2:20. I ran 2:19. So I kind of put that performance, 2:19 in Dublin, probably that's when it started to, you know, 2010. Like, so it, you know, I was reading a book like years ago, and you know, probably everyone knows that, you know, it takes about like 10 years of between 7 and 10 years, you know, systematically to train, you know. It's like the 10,000 hours practice, you know, to reach your peak, you know. So like I'd say like took me about 7 years like to reach that peak, to run a 2:19 in Dublin.
And like on your way to that peak, was it through club coaches or other coaches that helped you along the way?
I ran to around 2:19 with I was training with Clonleaf, with Peter. Peter trained me to before Dublin. I ran Belfast Marathon, I ran Longford, but they were all like in around, like I ran my first marathon Longford when I blew up, but I didn't have the training when I ran 2:35 fine in 2006. But then the following year in 2007, I was training with Peter and Clonleaf Harriers. So I was training for Belfast Marathon, and the training went fine until like 3 weeks to go. Then I got a bad Achilles tendon. So like I still went to Belfast. I ran 2:25 in Belfast that year. And then the following year I ran Belfast again. I ran a 2:23. All with club coach and all training. But then when I ran 2:19 in Dublin, I kind of like, I had, you know, like few, like I still keep in touch with, like I have few friends in Moldova, they former athletes, and some of them, they still training, and it's kind of getting a bit of guidance from there. I'm a good friend, and I know the guy who holds the marathon record in Moldova, Yaroslav Mushinsky. He's a 2:08 guy, and I think he ran 2:08 back in 2010, maybe, or 2011, you know. So I kind of like between, you know, I was kind of getting a bit of guidance, like, of him, you know, about the long runs, about the long intervals, and, you know, what I can't say, because, like, you know, that's, you know, I was here, and I was, you know, so, like, but between the club coach and myself, and, like, I'd say kind of a bit of a mix, you know, like, as now, you know, after, you know, probably around now for 20 years, you know, I like, it's very important, you know, to stick with the coach and to give the coach a chance. And because it takes, I still say, like, as a coach now, and, you know, like, it takes at least a year between the coach and the athlete to find out what works and what doesn't work. You know? But back then, I thought, like, I can coach myself, I can coach, I can go and train with the club, I can call my coach in Moldova and ask, you know, like, so, yeah, but, like, I guess it's all, like, experience, and we all live and learn, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And then, as you said, you know, you're starting to get a better level, 2:19, you start winning a lot of well-known local races as well, I suppose. You mentioned Ballycotton there earlier. Can you talk a bit about Ballycotton, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 2011 when I won my first Ballycotton. And she's like, that race, because, like, I was at that time, I was in Ireland 5 years, and I kind of followed, you know, like, the, you know, now it's like, you know, internet, it's so accessible, and we all can find out on internet, you know, but there is so much on internet, you know. And back then, all I was following was Irish Running Magazine, you know, Irish Running Magazine, you know. So, like, you would get all the results there, all the fixture, and, you know, all the races from Irish Running Magazine, you know. And you know, like, it was so well done, you know, and, like, I knew of Ballycotton, and I knew all the, you know, all the top athletes in Ireland, they all went to run Ballycotton, you know, Jerry Kiernan and everyone, you know. And, like, I met Jerry, like, fourth year when I joined Clonleave. Jerry wasn't coaching at the time any guys. I think I was, like, the first Clonleave guy that Jerry took in, and, like, we were, you know, like, when Jerry passed away, like, you know, we were more like friends than athlete and coach, you know. And but, like, back then in 2011, I thought, geez, like, Ballycotton was, like, you know, probably winning Ballycotton was bigger than any other races that I've done, like, when I won it first year, you know. So, like, I went back after that, and it happened that I won again in 2012, and I won, like, a few years after, you know.
Yeah. Do you miss Ballycotton? Like, I mean, for a lot of people, I only was lucky enough to run it twice, but it was just a spectacular event and the magic around it. And
yeah,
a lot of people probably won't have run it either, who are listening in, maybe. But
look, like, Ballycotton was a, like, it's funny, Ballycotton was a brand, you know, like,
yeah,
I never thought that Ballycotton will just go, and, like, will just one day, you know, they announce that that's it, Ballycotton is gone, no more Ballycotton, you know, like, even after Ballycotton was gone, I went a few times to just drove to Ballycotton, just, you know, kind of just go for a walk and just do the cliff walk and just, you know, take a photo at the plague there on the wall at the start line, you know.
Yeah, no, it's there's something just magical about Ballycotton. Like, I've read it 3 or 4 times, and it actually, unfortunately, it got too big for itself, you know what I mean? And, you know, I would give anything for that, just to have one more year of that race come back and just do it for one more year. We might have to do it, Brian. We'd have to try to get a runner.
Yeah, it became almost mythical, though, isn't it? Like, you know, people talk about it as if it was, like, you know, almost like the moving statue of Ballinspittle or some kind of, there was a romance to it, like, you know?
Yeah, like, you think even, you know, you know, someone will take over and maybe do a limited You know, maybe, I don't know, like a show, maybe a road race, maybe, you know, an invitational, maybe, you know, like I wouldn't mind now not to run, but maybe to watch it, you know, maybe, you know, a live link. Like,
you say
know.
That, sir, but you do. Did they say, do you want to come down? You'd be like, yeah, I'll actually come down straight away. You know, like, I remember actually, and it was one of my first road races, I was only running short, not that long, but there was the Run in the Dark in Cork, and you actually won it. It was the 10K. It started in the town, went out to UCC, out that way. And I was just scrolling there because I was trying to find out the picture with you at the finish line. I remember, I can't believe I get the picture with the winner of the race. And it was like, it was only my second or third race that I'd ever done. And I was like, this is incredible. Yeah. Like, and I was like, I've known you pretty much since then. And
I remember that race. Yeah, I remember that race because it's not many times like I ran in, you know, nighttime or let's say during that time in the evening. But I think races like this are nice, you know. Like I think like probably we need more races like this. Maybe a little something kind of different, you know, like that. Yeah. Like that,
and that was very different. That race, that, like I know they do the Run in the Dark, which is a loop, but this was the big 10K out to the lock. You do a little loop at the lock, you come down. It was actually a great race.
But I think that's funny you make that point, Damon, because it was in my head today when I was thinking about tonight and questions we could ask. But again, like I'm in running, I suppose, since 2014 or 15, whatever. But Sergio was a name early on that, you know, this guy is at one of the top runners in Ireland, but was always, I think people found you very visible, that you turned up to races, you turned up and supported races all over the country. And you were a name that became familiar to runners of all levels, really, not just the top level, you know?
Yeah, look, like, and I think that's another way kind of even to see the country, you know, because, like, as I said, like, you know, I was running a cross-country race a few years ago in Belfast, and I was planning to travel, stay in Dublin, and then the following day just drive to Belfast and then back. And it's funny because, like, here in the clinic, one of the physio, and like, she's here from Tipperary, and she said, like, but I was saying, oh, my sister lives in Dublin now, and she will come to watch the race in Northern Ireland, and she's never been to Belfast, I said, you know. And that girl, the physio here, like, she said, oh, she never been to Belfast. And I said, no. And then she said, oh, she's like, what I'm talking about, I've never been to Belfast myself, you know? And she's from here, you know, like, and, but yeah, like, running, you know, like, really, you know, it's a good way kind to travel and to see the country. And, like, because if I'm thinking now, I don't think there's a place in Ireland that I haven't been, or a county that I haven't been and raised, you know? So, like, it's... you know, like, that's what I was doing, you know, I enjoy, and I still do enjoy, like, you know, going and racing, give it a go, you know, like, last weekend, I know, like, I, sometimes I do mad things, you know, and then I always say, do what the coach is saying, what he's telling you to do, but don't do what the coach is doing. You know?
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do. What kind of type thing?
Because, like, I raced the half marathon last Saturday, and the following day I went to Newmarket and I ran. I raced the 5K. Obviously, like, I was stiff as a hell, you know, and like, it was a tough race, but like, I really enjoyed. Like, first of all, I thought I should go there because I coach few people and they're running, and I'm going to support them. And then I said, like, after traveling from Clonmel to Newmarket, it's 100K. I may as well, like, get an entry and run it, you know.
Yeah. I said it was easy enough to get it. You've obviously represented Moldova, and you've obviously represented Ireland as well in different, you know, cross country, road, things like that. There was a time where with Rio, the Olympics, where you were the third fastest.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I know there's a sore subject, I could see it. and obviously you weren't selected. How was that whole is that experience? Yeah. Is that the right word for it? But how was that whole time?
Like I said, I will try to forget about that, but like, obviously, like, you don't forget things like this, you know, because even back then I thought that, you know, kind of like after Rio, you know, 4 years later for Tokyo, I'll be like 4 years older, you know, so like probably that was, and I kind of was probably with Olympics, like, oh, look, like, we have, like, my idea now is also, like, it's nice kind to run few, like, I mean, like, to go and run Europeans and maybe try to, for the Worlds, you know, before Olympics. But, and I know back then, like, it happened, but, and I know, like, because I got a few comments that, like, it's kind of like, you know, just go to the Olympics, you know. No, but like in 2012, I was just very unlucky because I, like, in 2012, we had two standards, B and A. So the B standard for Olympics was 218 and the A standard 215. And I was still with Moldova then, and I ran in Rotterdam 215.26, you know, and like on a very windy and bad day in Rotterdam. And like I ran 215.26, which was a huge PB at the time for me, you know, and I wasn't selected for Moldova because we had, let's say the A standard was 215, which I didn't have that, you know, but I had the B standard of which 215.26, you know, but we had athletes with A standard, some Moldova standard athletes with A standard only, no standard. And I understand that, you know, because that was the rule, you know. But then in Rio, four years later, when I ran 215.14 in Berlin, then, yeah, it's kind of look like it's a thing that like I try to forget, but like you don't forget things like this, you know. You know, so like I still like there was an article by Billy Keane, you know, and that I kind of like the way he named it. That somehow like you can't, like, you don't. The clock never lies, you know, like whatever time you clocked, that's your time, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously it was a disappointing time for me back then, but yeah, probably what I would when you asked me like what people three sports people that I'd like to sit down and have a meal, probably would be one of the guys, that's the guy who was the high performance director back then, Kevin Ankrum, you know. And I, you know, because like he had to finish his contract less than just a few months after Rio then, you know. And that was he kind of left prematurely, you know, like I don't know the reason behind that, but like, so like maybe he would be the person that I would love to have a chat now, maybe, you know. Maybe
see the thinking, just get the idea behind
what exactly happened then, because, you know, obviously I don't know what happened, you know.
Yeah.
And I know I truly deserved, you know, to be on that team, but look, it's gone, and like, you know, I didn't have another chance after, because, you know, life got a little bit busier and things like this, you know. So like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, and it is like, and you know, Did you kind of mindset when you obviously didn't get in it, did you say, right, I'm going to try to make 4 years time then after that again? Was that just straight into the goal, or did you kind of go, is it actually worth it?
Somehow I lost the motivation, and I lost the motivation more when obviously the, you know, World Athletics, they increased the standards for the qualification standards. Yeah.
And on that, as you tapped it, you touched on that, like, it's gone obscene now at the moment, isn't it? Like, it's 208, isn't it, at the moment?
And I know they, look, they talking about the shoes, because, you know, the shoes, you know, everyone got so fast with the shoes. But it's funny because, like, I wear the super shoes, like, since 2017, and I still haven't run a single PB in them, you know?
Okay.
Like I can't manage to run PBs. Obviously, I do run well in those super shoes, but obviously my days... Apparently, my dates are behind me, you know. Because
as a coach yourself, like you see, it's not just the shoes that have gone better. It's like, you know, there's nutrition. We've said this before: nutrition has got better, training has gone better, strength and conditioning has got better. Like, everyone puts it down to the super shoes, which I think is totally wrong. It's just that everyone has actually just everything has advanced a little bit more and got better.
Look, like, like, of course, everything, like, is advanced and everything, like, moved on, you know, and like, I do agree that the standards, even for Rio, the standards were weak, you know, because I think the standards for Rio were, like, something like 218 or 219, you know. Look, like, I know, like, back then we had about five guys running in around 2014, 2015, you know, and that was still a step up from, you know, the previous years, you know, like, so obviously, like, the standards were weak back then, but like a 2.8 Olympic standard, 2.8 now, like, I don't know, it's like, I think it's a little bit.
Well, I've said it. I'm not going for it. I've said already. I'm not going for 2.8, Brian. So you have me for another year. All right. Don't worry. I'm not going for it. But no, look.
I'm not for that either.
Yeah, exactly. We've all decided. But it is gone mad. And like the women's has now gone to, what is it, a 2.26? I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just the timing has just gone mad in it. You were saying that obviously cross country, you've run Eurocross as well and everything like that. Is there any highlights? I enjoy cross country. I don't, Brian, you've done a cross country race, have you?
Brian.
I did
one. Okay, so Brian,
never again.
I love cross country as well. Like, what's it about cross country that you love so much about it?
I don't know. It's kind of like it's a different race. You know, it's a race that, you know, like you feel like plugged in, engaged from start to finish, you know, like let's say a road race, there is a moment in a road or track where you feel like you're cruising, you know, like that you get a little bit of a break or a breather, but cross country is just like on from start to finish, you know, and I don't know, maybe because like when I moved to Ireland, like we used like the national interclubs for Clonleith, the national interclubs was the one big race a year that the club wanted to win, you know, and maybe probably I just learned that the cross country was so important and like we just need to train and we need to go and win, you know. So like we were training on the grass, you know, like from July to February, you know, and I just love that kind of training. Like obviously now here in Clonmel, like we live in the, like Clonmel is like, I know it's an inland town, one of the probably a former, but like inland, the biggest inland towns. But like I still find hard like to find a field where to go and train on the grass, because everything is, all the JA fields are closed, and like even if there is any private fields, like you can't run. And I think like probably Ireland as a country or as a sporting athletics, we lack of fields like this, like, you know. But anyway, yeah, I think like that's what got me into the cross country. And one more like that, like my fourth race that I competed for Moldova was a cross country race. Yeah. So like maybe, you know, kind of that was the, you know, what I started with probably. Or,
yeah,
you know?
For me, and like, again, I do think cross country used to be, I don't know if it was, but it used to feel like it was a lot bigger than it is now. I think cross country just seems to be suffering a little bit. And I really, like, I think the clubs need to probably put a push again. Like, you know, you were saying Clonliffe, it was cross country, cross country. Now it's marathons, marathons, marathons. And then you might try to fit in, you know, cross country teams if you can get them. And you know, in the intermediate level, and we'd say for Cork at the moment, last this year was 11 men entered into the intermediate men's race, you know. No, I wasn't there, so I put my hand up as well, you know, but people have to support these things. But I really think it's up to the club in the whole country to get behind cross country and get that team environment, because running is obviously very individual, but cross country is the one time you can get that team atmosphere and, you know, have at the race itself, your tents up and your flags up, and that crew create that atmosphere.
And I think there is so much more that could be done, you know, about like events like this, you know, like even going to the national cross country, let's say Kilkenny a few weeks ago, you know, like you go there and you see every club having a tent, you know, where, but I think like clubs should have even more tents there, you know, because, you know, like kind of like it's a big race, you know, everyone travels there to run. And like, I mean, like it's but another thing, why cross country like should be like even more prioritized, especially now the European Interclubs cross country championship, they invite the top two clubs in the country, men's and women, you know.
Yeah.
So like it's not only the winning club goes, but the top two clubs go, you know. And
Just then, Serge, as well, like you mentioned about the club and Clonliffe, and obviously put effort into cross country, but I think also into the marathon. Like, I mean, Dublin Marathon, I think you always had a strong team there as well. And obviously, you were part of that as well. So, your experience with the Dublin Marathon maybe might be of interest as well.
Yeah, look, like Dublin Marathon was like I think marathon, like it's funny. Marathons, what motivated me to marathons, you know, it was probably the prizes, you know. Like,
Well, sure,
Straight to the point.
at least you're
Yeah.
honest. It's not trying,
Look,
as they say, it's not as they're trying to say, live golf at the moment, grow the game. Do you know what I mean? At least you're honest.
and like I remember, like, watching Dublin Marathon before I started to run Dublin Marathon back in, I went towards Dublin Marathon in 2006, 7, 8, and I wasn't running Dublin Marathon then, you know. But like if you look at that, the national championship back in those years, like kind of the national championship was wasn't as competitive as it is now. But like it started really like back in probably 2012 and 13 when like I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence, you know. And I know probably athletes sometimes they I kind of find like athletes they not always want to talk about, you know, prizes and the podium and things like this, you know. But Dublin Marathon really put up their prizes like back then when they formed that marathon mission, you know, when they said, like, you know, athletes who are going to run Dublin, Irish athletes who are going to run Dublin Marathon, they're going to get a bit of support from Dublin Marathon, you know, kind of to motivate and stimulate that the competitiveness in the Dublin Marathon, you know. So, like, I think, like, it really started back then, you know. And looking at that, like, I finished, I ran Dublin Marathon, finished Dublin Marathon 11 times. I say I had 10 good Dublin marathons and one bad this year. I dropped
Yeah.
out last year.
And to be fair to Dublin as well, they put on, like, I don't know, you kind of mentioned it there with the support, but you know, even the prize money for the local athletes and the Irish athletes and stuff like that, it's like it's a massive incentive for people to run well.
Indeed. And they do look well after Irish athletes, you know, like let's say, like, you know, even they trying their best, you know, to sort you out with accommodation and, you know, giving you, you know, free entries and trying to promote the sport, trying to attract, you know, the top Irish athletes like to run Dublin Marathon, you know, to make it a show, you know, like because that's what makes the race good and nice, like when you have a very competitive race, you know.
Cork Marathon or Cork Half Marathon, or like, you know, is it like how do you how is and they're not even competing with each other, you know, and not even comparing them, but like, you know, what's it like? How did you have you enjoyed Cork when you ran it?
Look, I ran Cork a few good times. I'd say like I ran Cork probably 4 or 5 times, you know. And I know the race director Gina, and look, like I like whenever I asked, you know, like would it be possible to get an entry for Cork Marathon, I was never refused, you know. So like you know, like obviously, you know, Cork is another big city marathon in Ireland, and like because it's summertime and it kind of suited me some summers to go and run, and that's kind of the reason I ran. And
So you
you
would say
know,
sometimes it feels like winter sometimes, and it can feel like,
yeah,
you know,
well,
very, very
sometimes
summer
it's winter and
sometimes.
sometimes it's winter, sometimes it's summer, yeah, because this year was a summer, you know, like big wave. Some years, like few years in the past, I ran my fourth Cork marathon, and I think it was lashing from start to finish.
2015, I think it was, yeah. Maybe 14, was it? Yeah, I remember that one, I think. Maybe you were there beforehand. Sergio, just to move it on a small bit again, then obviously you have more, you know, you've outside the running, you have your coaching, you have sports therapy as well. Talk us through the coaching, I suppose, first, maybe.
You see, like I started coaching like probably a little bit. You see, it started first. I started first to do physical therapy, you know, and but when you meet people, you know, in the clinic through sports and this, like you kind of like without knowing, you start like giving people advice, you know, and people asking you, you know, like knowing me probably from Bruning, you know, what would be better to do, this or that, or, you know, like, and that's how it started with coaching, you know. So like my first time I started with, I said, you know, like I'll probably do a few classes, so running classes, you know. So like my first days, like I did few running classes, like in Mitchellstown, and then I moved from Mitchellstown down to Fermoy, you know, and like I'm in Fermoy now, I'd say 8 years. I'm coaching in Fermoy for 8 years. Like, it doesn't feel like 8 years, but I have to plug in my phone here. But so I'm coaching in Fermoy now, and I really enjoy because I'm there every Wednesday evening, and I have a nice group of people there, and they were all turning up, and they all like to run. Even on days when there is orange or yellow weather
warnings,
they're still there.
yeah, they still insist. They want to go and train, you know. And I'm like, well, I travel from Clamel to Fermoy on a wet, windy Wednesday evening, like, you know. But they say, oh no, like even if I don't go, they'll still turn up, you know. So I just get in the car and I drive there, you know, and I do my job, you know. But I do really enjoy that, you know.
What, just as a matter of interest, because obviously we have a lot of clubs, you know, and club administrators listening in as well, but what do you think a coach like you brings to a club as opposed to a club who maybe don't have a coach?
Yeah, you know, like I always look, and you see the thing, like, obviously, like, I'm getting paid to go to Fermoy and do my job there, you know, and I think, like, I always try to promote this, and I always think, like, clubs around the country, they need to hire coaches and get their coaches, get coaches to go and coach the clubs. And probably, I'm not quite sure if it's right or wrong, but, like, that's my opinion. I don't think a club, someone from the club should be coaching their own club people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here, but that's my opinion, you know, because, like, I think it's always better just to hire a coach and have, you know, have a chat and maybe have a, you know, like, discuss what's the priority for club, and like have some, like, hire someone to coach the club, you know, because like I've been seeing clubs that they you know, like, they, and look, maybe we crossing here some interest, you know, because I don't know, but like, I mean, they've been few clubs, you know, they've been sending few athletes from the club to do some athletics Ireland courses, and they would come back in the club and they start coaching, you know. This is like exactly the same if like I'm training with 3-4 guys for years, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm going, I do a course and I come back in the club and I tell them, guys, I'm going to be your coach and I'm going to send you for a run now, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's a...
An outside voice, I think, is needed.
Yeah, but Sergio, for me, what I think with that as well, though, is because when someone in the club, right, is done that, that's actually slightly taken away from their training time as well, because more than likely, if they have an interest in it, they want to be on the track doing a session every, I just go use Tuesdays, for example. So all of a sudden you're asking this person out not to do that with the group because you want them to be coaching them. And for me, you can't really coach a group if you're going to be in the middle of the session when you need to be at the side, you know, explain to people what's going on.
Yeah.
You're going a little bit hard, you need to slow it down. And that's where the outside voice kind of helps that, because they have no interest. They have a, you know, they're getting paid for this. That's their, again, that's their job. All of a sudden, now it's different. They'll work their training around it. But I think getting someone from the club, unless, touch wood, and, like, you know, people aren't injured and they want to run, you know, it's not fair on that person in a way. No, I know they have to make a decision, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That was my opinion, you know, that, like, I think it works. Like, from my own experience, I think probably it works a little bit. But anyway, look, that's...
you're available for coaching anyway.
No, it's not that, because I'm not...
I know what you're talking
about. I'm not going to take anymore, because, like, any more coaching, you know, like, I'm fine, like, where I coach, and I do few... I do train few athletes here in Clamel privately, you know. But I was always for that even a top class athlete, they have to pay their coaches, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to everyone, you know, a relationship, an athlete and coach relationship, is not going to last for years. You know, there is a break at some stage, you know. So like, as an athlete, if I know that like I'm getting coached by this coach and he puts his time and he sends me the plan and I'm paying for that, you know, when I want to walk away, we are fair. You know, I say, look, thanks for your time. I paid for your time, you know, and I'm fine to go. You are fine to go, you know. But because like we see this happens in clubs, you know, a club coach goes there beside the truck and he puts his time for years. Yeah. And then it feels like there is, you know, like, you know, there is like, I did my time here and you can't tell me what to do. And because I did this and I did that and I won this club, you know, like that's why I think like coaches, like people who, but look, we don't have in Ireland this yet. And I had a chat. I was away training in South Africa with Sean Doyle last January, you know, and we had this chat together, you know, like I know if Sean will listen to this, like he'll probably, and like, it's not, but like we kind of were arguing a little bit, you know, because I was saying like, I think a club coach needs to be to get paid for the job he's doing, you know? And like when the terms come up, like to the end, everyone is free to walk away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
absolutely.
That's my opinion, you know?
Yeah, no, I kind of agree. And I also think a coach like that brings structure to a club anyway. You know, again, everybody, as you say, you turn up everybody Wednesday night, everybody knows you're there. People will be there for that session. You know, if you're not there, it becomes unstructured, you know?
Look, yeah, exactly. But even, you know, like, I mean, and that kind will reduce a little bit the politics in clubs, you know, because we see, you know, without wanting that, like, that there is still politics in every club. And, like, you know,
That's it, exactly. What next for you? What's the challenges ahead?
What's next for me? Like, it's kind of like, you know, like I've been thinking lately, like, well, obviously I'm not going to retire, you know, but like my results are not as I wanted. But in the same time, I know I'm not putting the time, the same time what I used to put into training, you know, and it's not only training, as we said, it's nutrition, it's rest, you know, and rest is another thing that probably I don't put too much into rest now, you know. Like I remember years ago when I was running a bit better, like a good friend of mine, like I was like I'm self-employed now, I was self-employed then, but I was having a little bit more time for rest and I would take naps every day, you know. And this friend of mine, like he calls me and I was just after a nap, I was just coming around, you know, I think it was maybe 3:30, you know. And I was like, oh, geez, I'm just after having a nap. And he's like, Sergio, like, you lucky bastard. Because you have time to have naps, you know. Believe me, like, wait until you have your kids that you're not going to have naps anymore, you know. I think those naps really helped me, you know. But, like, I can't afford have naps now, you know. So, like, no. I think that's another thing. But, look, like, I, what's next for me now? I'll probably be looking, like, maybe hopefully I'll give it a go. Maybe at, like I was thinking I may skip the marathon season next year and maybe focus, give the cross country season another go, just one more year, you know?
Yeah. And like, but you're still, I know, Sergio, you said you're only 40, you know, like I've 5 years of you in my age category, you know, like you.
Luckily,
we'll never be in Brian's age category, but we're okay.
I'm still smiling here.
I know, but you see, like this year, when I was running double marathon this year, I was thinking when I hit the wall, and it's not that I hit the wall, but I lost motivation. I went through the halfway kind of in a slow, comfortable, but slow time. But when I wanted to kind of pick up a little bit of pace, I just couldn't, you know. And like, you know, like in the marathon, like all those negative thoughts are crossing your mind and you are like, am I too old for this? Did I run too many marathons? Did I do this? Did I do that? You know, like, because like I think there is a stage when, you know, like you are probably like, when did you start running, Damien? Like when did you say?
12 years ago, I think, no.
Okay, you see, like, because I think like there is an age, like probably in running, you know, like I run at kind of quite competitively for 20 years, you know, and I probably trained like I think I probably trained for about maybe 40 marathons, you know, and I raced probably hard maybe 35, you know,
So
and
you're kind of saying your racing age versus your actual age is almost like two different.
Exactly, because like you know, like I
That's
don't
great.
feel like
I'm very
40,
young,
you know,
so I'm
like
great.
I feel younger, but like probably in running, like I'm like yeah, I don't know, like you know, like
Well, I'm 47 and I hate to turn you, Sergio. Those naps don't, I still don't get those naps. So you have a few years left yet, I'd say, without naps. Yeah. I think.
Sergio, I think. Look, I think really appreciate your time. In fairness, I know you're still at your workspace. So, we really
Oh, don't worry. Like I work in the afternoons, you know. So like I'm like maybe like some like I'm lucky the way I manage my work, you know, because like I still prioritize my training. So I do one session a day. Rarely I may do a double session, you know. But like my mornings are for training and my afternoons are for work, you know. So, in that way I'm lucky. Yeah, I know it's late, but like yeah.
I think though, like again, no matter what your future is in terms of running, and hopefully you get back there to some good levels again. But I think one thing for sure is that you are really very well liked across the country, and as you said, you've traveled to every county in Ireland, and I hope that certainly keeps continuing anyway, because I know you're very welcome in all the clubs you
And
visit.
a
So,
Bween 5K. There's a Bween 5K, Brian.
5K. I'll be on to again about that. Thanks a million for
Well,
your time, Sergio. Yep.
my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Brilliant interview there again from Sergio. Thanks a million. As I said, quite a lot in that there. Great experience. Really well liked guy. I still think he's a young man, and I still think he'll power back with PBs again, and no doubt winning races or podium in races, because he's just too much of a quality athlete not to. So watch the space. I think he'll be
Oh
back for
God,
it.
yeah. He'll have what they, as they call, like, you know, that breakthrough again. It is going to happen. You know, and as you do get older, as you know, Brian, you know, just things
I'm
become a
young.
little
I'm
bit
young.
harder
I'm
on
young
it.
in running years now. Remember that. That's my new
That's
one
that
up.
is exactly. But no, thanks again to Sergio. In fairness, we really enjoyed ourselves and really pleasant with his time and all out of it. So, you know, thank you. And as you said, another one added to the sound list, which pretty much nearly all of them we have on, to be fair to them.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know?
Right. So, look, again, thanks everybody who contributed to this week's show. Huge thanks out to Pillar Performance, Shoe Rescue again, Wellbeing, to all those clubs who supported us with competitions, in particular this week to the Tom Kelly 8K in Ardfort. And again, to you, the listeners, who keep, you know, the numbers continue to be really strong. So, we really appreciate that. And I suppose, look, coming into the new year, myself and Damien are already thinking about a few things and planning a few things and some things we haven't tried before. So we're certainly going to push it on. If people have ideas or if people have contacts that they think we should be talking to, we're happy to certainly try and get in contact with them. Again, as we've said before, there are some people out there and some obvious names at times who you probably would say, why haven't they spoke to this person or that person? Some people just don't want to come on and, you know, don't court media or, you know, social media or podcast as well. So obviously we respect that as well. But yeah, if there's other people you think we should be talking to or who may have interesting stories, certainly let us know.
Yeah, exactly. Because look, we will be finishing up shortly ourselves. We're going to take a break this year for Christmas and stuff like that. That is to be decided, you know, shortly enough when that will be. But you know, we're planning now already for the new year. So look, anyone's help would be greatly appreciated on that side as well. But with that, look, Brian, another week down. Enjoy,
Yeah,
and we will see you next week.
absolutely. Thanks, everyone. Cheers. Bye bye.